Welcome to this week's Point Community Church Sunday Sermon. If you'd like to learn more about the Point Community Church, please visit our website at tpcc.org.au.
Well, welcome back. Welcome back to the Book of Proverbs. We have had a little detour as we've been thinking about our vision and mission as a church, but we're back today and next week in the Book of Proverbs to finish off term one. And today we're looking at this topic, as has been mentioned, of wisdom and money, but not really. Actually, we're looking at the deeper issues of power, comfort, and security. Because to talk about money by itself, in a sense, and how we spend or keep money, is in some ways superficial. Two people could do very different things, but actually come from the same heart motives. And so we're going to be thinking about the real issues. And my contention this morning is that you cannot buy what only the gospel of God can give. I want to explore with you together this morning three ways that Proverbs helps us to navigate a world of wealth. And the first thing I want to say is that Proverbs very helpfully, I think, exposes many of the follies of wealth. Firstly, it exposes the allure of easy money. So just have a listen to these Proverbs. This is 13:11. Says, "Wealth gained hastily will dwindle, but whoever gathers little by little will increase." Or 28:22, "A stingy man hastens after wealth and does not know that poverty will come upon him." Or 28:8, "Whoever multiplies his wealth by interest and profit gathers it for him who is generous to the poor." Or 22:16, "Whoever oppresses the poor to increase his own wealth or gives to the rich will only come to poverty." Or finally, chapter 1, verse 10, "Such are the ways of everyone who is greedy for unjust gain. It takes away the life of its possessor." You see, there are ways of making money quickly, but not all is as it appears. Not everything, as has been said, and not everything that glitters is gold. And in the end, Proverbs is warning us that such money-making schemes will only ruin you. So Proverbs exposes the follies of wealth, particularly easy money. And secondly, it also exposes the trap of trusting in money. So chapter 18, verse 11 says, "A rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his imagination." Actually, chapter 10, verse 15 says almost exactly the same thing. "A rich man's wealth is his strong city, like a high wall in his imagination." In other words, money makes us think that we're safe, that we're secure. And additionally, money actually gives real power, doesn't it? So 22:7 says, "The rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave to the lender." So these are the realities of life, aren't they? But Proverbs is warning us, chapter 11, verse 28, that whoever trusts in his riches, like that rich man who thinks of his riches as a strong, a high wall, a strong city, impenetrable, safe and secure, whoever trusts in his riches, 11:28, will fall. Think of King Nebuchadnezzar. You remember him in Daniel chapter 4? Out walking on the roof of his royal palace. "Is not this great Babylon," he said, "which I have built by my mighty power as a royal residence and for the glory of my majesty?" You can imagine him in all of his pomp walking around his rooftop saying those words, can't you? But Daniel tells us that while the words were still on the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven. And immediately the words of this voice from heaven were fulfilled, and King Nebuchadnezzar was driven from among men and ate grass like an ox, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven till his hair grew long like eagle's feathers and his nails were like bird's claws. And the repeated refrain in that story is, "Until you know, King Nebuchadnezzar, that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whoever he wills." until you know, until you acknowledge. Or think of Israel. Do you remember the nation of Israel? There they were in slavery in Egypt, brought out by Moses through the wilderness, and they're coming into the promised land. And then we've got this repeated refrain in the book of Deuteronomy, which was the law, the second law given on the edge, on the cusp of coming into the land. And it says there that, chapter 6, verse 10, when the Lord your God brings you into the land that he swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give you, a land with large flourishing cities that you did not build, houses filled with all kinds of good things that you did not provide, wells that you did not dig, and vineyards and olive groves that you did not plant, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, when your herds and your flocks grow large, when your silver and your gold increases, and all you have is multiplied, then, it says, your heart will become proud. And you'll forget the Lord your God. Remember, Proverbs are saying, remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth. Peter Adam comments on the phrase in the Lord's Prayer. Remember the phrase in the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread? He says, have you ever prayed this prayer and actually meant it? We often thank God for our daily food, but we may not bother asking for it because our bank account, our credit cards, our shops, and all our well-stocked cupboards and fridges all trick us into thinking that we do not depend on God for our daily food. Isn't that true? We say grace, we thank God for our food, but we don't ask. And so I'm wondering, could there be a kindness of God in our current global instability? Could God be waking us up, exposing the trap of trusting wealth? And then thirdly, it also exposes the limited value of money. So Proverbs 27:24 says, riches do not last forever. Or 11:7, it says that in death, the expectation of wealth perishes. And then after death, 11:4, riches do not profit on the day of wrath. It's actually got quite limited value, haven't they? They don't last forever. As you approach death, the expectation of your wealth perishes. And as you go into the grave, and at the coming of Jesus, when you're resurrected to the judgment, is actually useless. And so Proverbs counsels us in 23:4, it says, do not toil to acquire wealth. Be discerning enough to desist. Stop. When your eyes light on it, it's gone. For suddenly it sprouts wings and flies like an eagle toward heaven. It's a beautiful picture, isn't it? Maybe it's not so beautiful. And Paul, writing to Timothy, in that passage that we read from chapter 6, quite strong language there, isn't it? Paul says to Timothy, I want you to command the rich in this present world not to be arrogant. We've seen how there's a connection there, isn't there, between pride and wealth. Don't be arrogant. And then he says, nor put your hope in wealth. Don't look to wealth for your security and your prosperity. And the reason he says that is because they are so uncertain. Tomorrow, your treasure may disappear. So transient, so temporal, so uncertain. I love the character Fagin in Charles Dickens' Oliver Twist. I don't know if you remember that. Fagin is this crooked old man who trains a band of pickpockets in the grimy streets of 19th century London. And the old musical for Oliver ends with Fagin staring in dismay at the treasure box, as the treasure box that he so often fingered and sort of gloated over. And as he's watching that treasure box sink slowly into an open sewer. And the closing song depicts him reviewing the situation, torn between turning over a new leaf and returning to his life of crime. He cannot decide. "I think I better think it over again," he says. But the 2005 film is closer to the book and somewhat sadder, because Fagin is imprisoned at the end of the story, awaiting the gallows. But Oliver is set on saying a prayer with Fagin, because Fagin had been kind to him in a strange kind of way. As Fagin ponders his impending death, Oliver wants to be there to lead him in a prayer. And as Oliver comes into the cell, Fagin returns to some sort of vestige of humanity, but at the mention of prayer, he shrieks. He cannot pray. He cannot bring himself to repent. You see, greed has a grip that only God can break. If I were to mention to you this morning debt, fraud, gambling addiction, bankruptcy, imprisonment, I can give you the name of someone in my life who I personally have known to correspond with each of those. If I were to mention to you this morning constantly purchasing beyond their means, I could give you not one name but a list. And in a room the size of this, it is almost certain that there are profound money challenges. But having someone bail you out is actually not the answer, and Proverbs actually warns against that. Something deeper inside has got to change. And so secondly, very helpfully, Proverbs invites us to seek something better than money. And I want to say that this, if you're new or if you've been a Christian and in the game for quite a while, I want to say that this is actually the key to fighting all types of sin. C.S. Lewis would say it this way, wouldn't he? He would say, "It's not that we've wanted too much, but that we've settled for too little." Little loves must be conquered by bigger loves. That's the way to fight sin. And so Proverbs invites us to seek something better than money. And the invitation in Proverbs, this invitation to something bigger and better, it rings loud in the first 9 chapters of the book, and it reverberates and resonates all the way through. So chapter 8, verse 1, "Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice? Riches and honor are with me," she says. "Enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the ways of righteousness and in the paths of justice, granting," listen to this, "an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries." That's wisdom. Chapter 3, verse 13, "Blessed is the one who finds wisdom and the one who gets understanding, for the gain from her is better than gold, than the gain from silver, and more, and her profit better than gold. She's more precious than jewels, and nothing you desire can compare with her." It's interesting, isn't it, when the book of Proverbs is looking for something really valuable to compare wisdom with, it chooses money, wealth, gold, silver, jewelry. It knows that the human heart longs for those in such a way. It lurches after more, doesn't it? But when Proverbs is looking for a comparison, That's where it goes, but it's saying wisdom is better than that. She's more precious. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace. She's a tree of life to those who lay hold of her, and those who hold her fast are called blessed. My son, do not lose sight of these. Keep sound wisdom and discretion, that they may be life to your soul and adornment to your neck. Then you will walk on your way securely, and your foot will not stumble. If you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Do not be afraid of sudden terror or the ruin of the wicked when it comes, for the Lord will be your confidence. Can you see? How much better to get wisdom than gold, to get understanding than is to be chosen, isn't it, rather than silver? Listen to this one, 15:17. Better a dinner of herbs where there is love than a fattened ox and hatred within. Treasures gained by wickedness do not profit, but righteousness delivers from death. You remember wisdom? Do you remember wealth couldn't do that? On the day of wrath, it was useless. But righteousness, and we've seen these words interchangeable, aren't they? Righteousness, wisdom delivers from death. So what is Proverbs saying? It's saying that real safety, real security, real power, real control, real acceptance and approval, real beauty and adornment, real comfort, real treasure and wealth come not from the mighty dollar. The Beatles were right. Money can't buy your love. In fact, it can't buy much at all. It cannot protect us, can it, from tragedy? It cannot shield us from hurt. It cannot give us what we're really looking for. Bruce Waltke says it this way. He says, money can build a house, but not a home. It can put food on the table, but not fellowship around it. It can give a woman fur and jewelry, but not the love she really wants. Wisdom, however, gives both material wealth, well-being, and spiritual life. You're chasing after money. Proverbs says what you're really looking for is wisdom. Because wealth is with wisdom. And wisdom is saying, come, listen to me, search for me and find me. Wealth, you see, is actually a byproduct. It's like the slag that runs off wisdom. And in the world of wisdom, you pave the streets with wealth. Money looks like a savior, promising us, offering to give us the life of our dreams. But money disappoints. It cannot deliver. Jesus is the real Savior. Listen to what he says. And hear the echoes of wisdom. Just like wisdom, Jesus says, come to me. All you who are weary and heavy laden, all you are burdened, and I will give you rest. Can you hear the echoes of wisdom? Come. Listen to me. Sleep well at night. Don't be afraid. I'll give you security. Or Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, don't be anxious. There's a lot of anxiety around money, isn't there? But Jesus says, don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear, or what sort of fuel will we put in our car? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Can you see the parallel? If you seek wisdom, well, wealth is in her right hand. And she'll keep you safe and secure, and she'll adorn you and beautify you and accept you. And if you seek Jesus, his kingdom, his righteousness, and do that first, all the other things will come as well. He'll look after you. Listen to how Paul puts it in Romans 8. We know Romans 8, 28, but have you memorized Romans 8, 32? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. And now listen to this bit. We know that bit, don't we? He didn't spare his own son. He gave Jesus up for us all. He sent Jesus into the world to die for our sins. And then Paul says, if he's done that, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? All things. In other words, he's given you the house. It's not too much, he'll throw in the mower. He's given you the kingdom. He'll provide for your daily bread. If you're tired of Temu wealth, if you're looking for lasting, real treasure, you've come to the right place. You've come to church. You've come to Jesus, to God above, the giver of all good gifts. Because what he is offering is not a patch on this broken world, not a band-aid solution, a financial band-aid to cover up the hurt. What God in Jesus is offering us through his word by his spirit is to be brought into a whole new creation. Fullness of joy in his presence. And see, so finally, it's interesting, we don't often think of Proverbs this way. We think of Proverbs as little wise sayings. But actually, did you realize that Proverbs is teaching us to pray? Chapter 2, verse 1, my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments within you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding, yes, if you listen to this, call out for insight, and if you raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver, and search for it like treasure, hidden treasure, then you'll understand the fear of the Lord and you'll find the knowledge of God. Can you hear the echoes of Jesus here? Seek and you'll find. Search for it and you'll get it. Call out, raise up your voice. Go looking for it. It's interesting in Job, one of my favorite chapters in Job is that one about the mines. Have you read that one? Chapter 28. The search, people would go crazy mining for gold. They'll do ridiculous things, life-endangering things. They'll go around the globe and immigrate for the gold rush that happens here, and they'll dig ridiculous holes down in the dirt, held up by sticks and in the hope that they might just get a little bit of gold. But if you search, you see, this is the comparison. Now, forget that, search for wisdom. Go mining for wisdom. Seek it and you'll find it. That's the promise. And then listen to Proverbs. For the Lord gives wisdom. It's with God. You've got to look to him for it. You can't conjure it up yourself. You can't study at university to find it. You've got to go to him. You've got to ask God. You've got to raise your voice. You've got to call out, God, will you give me wisdom? And guess what the cousin of Proverbs says in the book of James? God loves to hear that prayer. He's a generous God. He's not discriminating between him and her. He's generous. He wants to pour out wisdom. If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, and God will, whoosh, he will just give it to them because he loves to give wisdom. For the Lord gives wisdom from his mouth. You see, this is where you hear his mouth, isn't it? In the Bible, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright, and He'll be a shield. There's that safety security idea. He'll be a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice and watching over the ways of the saints. Then you'll understand righteousness and judgment and equity and every good path, for wisdom will come into your heart. James, the cousin of Proverbs, says it this way: God will choose to birth you and you'll be born again. He'll give you new life. You'll be part of his new creation of his own will. James chapter 1, verse 18, he brought us forth by the word of truth. Can you hear the echoes of Proverbs? Listen, 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 listen by the word of truth. That's how God births us again into his new creation. It's as we hear his word. And all of a sudden, boom, by the Spirit, he's given us a new heart with new longings, with new desires. Wisdom will come into your heart and knowledge will be pleasant to you. Before, I spurned knowledge. I hated knowledge. I wouldn't listen to my teachers. But now, wisdom has come into my heart and I love it. It's pleasant to my soul. And discretion now will watch over me and understanding will guard me. And here's the thing: delivering you from the way of evil. Wisdom will save you from the traps of money. Wisdom will keep you. James, the cousin of Proverbs, he says it this way. He says, humbly accept the word implanted in you, which can save you. The word can save you. Humbly accept it. Listen, listen, listen. Two things. Here's the prayer. We're getting to it. Chapter 30, verse 7. Two things, God, I ask of you. Deny them not to me before I die. Remove from me falsehood and lying. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food that is needful for me. Give me, Heavenly Father, my daily bread, lest I be full and deny you and say, who is the Lord? Or lest I be poor and steal and profane the name of my God. Can you hear Proverbs? It's teaching us to pray. It's teaching us to pray for our daily bread. And so I want to close by inviting you to pray with me now. Will you pray? Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the book of Proverbs. And we pray, please, we ask humbly, would you give us wisdom? Would you forgive us by the blood of Jesus for trusting in wealth? Would you deliver us in your grace from the grip of greed? Thank you, Heavenly Father, for Jesus, who though he was rich, yet for our sake he became poor, that we through his poverty might become rich. We thank you for Jesus, and we pray, please, please give us today our daily bread, for we ask in Jesus Christ's precious and powerful name. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for our latest sermon, or better yet, join us live at 9:30 or 5 p.m. Sunday. You can find all the details on our website at tpcc.org.au.